We're in Genesis chapter 30. Genesis 30, and we are going to pick up with verse 25 this morning. I did say last week that Jacob has a favorite child, and the favorite child is Joseph, and we can assume that Joseph is the favorite because he was the firstborn of the wife he really loved. So I don't want to make much of what's going to happen here, but I do find it very interesting. As soon as Rachel had born Joseph, that was the catalyst for Jacob to be discontent where he's at. Now, we're going to find out in chapter 31, though, that God's working behind the scenes. I don't know why chapter 30 is happening before 31. If I was inspired by the Holy Spirit, I would have written it that way. But inspired by Antonio's mind, I would have liked 31 to come before 30. Because in 31, we see this vision of the Lord, and it's going to give us a better picture of why Jacob's doing what he's doing now. But whatever the case is, Jacob's been promised what? Not that Laban's land would be his land. The land of his father Abraham would be his land. And he is still with Laban. And you'll remember this is so key and instrumental, at least in Abraham's life and in Abraham's faith, that that promise of land was so key to him that Abraham would not even allow Isaac to leave, would he? But we found through Jacob's story that through his sin, he's been kind of kicked out of his land. Well, time has passed and his son Joseph's born. He now has, at this point in history, 11 children, 10 boys and a girl. And after the birth of Joseph, he goes to see his uncle Laban. And we've talked about Laban and we've talked about Jacob. They have a similar sin problem, don't they? They're swindlers. They would sell you some swamp land in the Everglades. And Laban was so good, you'd actually buy it. So he goes to his uncle Laban. He says, "Send me away that I may go to my own home and country." Look at that. Isn't that interesting? He's already calling it his home and his country. "Give me my wives and my children for whom I have served you that I may go, and you, for you know the service that I have given you." But Laban said to him, "If I have found favor in your sight, I have learned by divination that the Lord has blessed me because of you. Name your wages and I will give it." Jacob said to him, "You yourselves know how I have served you and how your livestock has fared with me. For you had little before I came, and it has increased abundantly. And the Lord has blessed you wherever I turned. But now when shall I provide for my own household also?" He said, "What shall I give you?" Jacob said, "You shall not give me anything. If you will do this for me, I will again pasture your flock and keep it. Let me pass through all your flock today, removing from it every speckled and spotted sheep and every black lamb, and the spotted and speckled among the goats, and they shall be my wages. So my honesty will answer for me later when you come to look into my wages with you. Everyone that is not speckled and spotted among the goats and black among the lambs, if found with me, shall be counted stolen." Laban said, "Good, let it be as you have said." But that day Laban removed the male goats that were striped and spotted, and all the female goats that were speckled and spotted, every one that had white on it, and every lamb that was black, and put them in the charge of his sons. And he set a distance of 3 days' journey between himself and Jacob, and Jacob pastured the rest of the flock. Now, the first part that we read is the narrative, and the next part is dialogue. I'm sorry. This part was all the dialogue, what's going on. Now we're going to see the narrative that transpires from this. But before we move any further, let's just kind of look and talk about this for a bit and see what's going on. So we've got this Mideastern culture in which Jacob is found himself in, right? And if you'll remember, he's come to this man pretty much with just the robe on his back. He had to leave mightily quickly from his parents' home. Although he was promised the inheritance, he took none of it with him. He had to leave quickly, for his brother wants to kill him. So when he gets there, he enters into some sort of an indentured servitude, if you will. But instead of serving him for sustenance, although he does get that as well, he serves him for the daughters. So for 7 years, he works very diligently, and apparently he is very prosperous in all that he does. Laban increases wealth, and Laban switches wives on him. And the whole time, you'll remember, Jacob was working so heavily and so invested in his work because he loved the daughter he's going to marry. He loved Rachel so much that it just went by like that for him. And we talked about it in the past, right? How there are just times that life goes like this. And they're usually when we're having more fun than we're not, right? college went by like this for me. This school year has not gone like this for me. And then he has to serve another 7 years for the bride he really wanted. Now, Joseph, we're told, we believe, chronologically speaking, is born around the end of that 14th year, which is why he's going for his freedom, in other words. Hey, I've served you faithfully. I've kept the terms of my bargain. Let me go back to my homeland. Let me go back to my country. I love this. And again, here's the other piece of puzzle. Not only has he been indentured servitude, although he's served off that time, but they're family, right? And so what he has amassed during that time is really his father-in-law's stuff. It's not even his own stuff. And because the father is kind of the head of all the clan, if you will. This is like a clan kind of situation. We don't really live in clans anymore. We live in cities. But there was a time you lived like your clan was important. Maybe you seen Brave or whatever, and they had all those little clans. I'm the only Disney person. Man, anyways. All these clans, thank you for being honest back there. I love it. I'll sing some Little Mermaid for you later. I got all these clans. Got all these clans, and so he's the ruler of the clan. He's kind of like the king. He's a patriarch, if you will. We understand that term. So to leave, though, without having any strife, without any problems, he's going to go and ask for his freedom. He's going to be asked to be released. Here's Laban showing us his true colors again. Laban's like, oh, you know what I've learned since I've been with you? I've learned how to divine. I've learned how to, you know, divination, divine. Okay, Harry Potter people. You're learning how to read the signs, right? I know. Heather's like, this is just for me today. No, he's learning how to read the signs, and he goes, hey, by the way, I've read the signs. I'm a diviner now because of you. Because of you, I've gotten closer to God. Really, Laban, have you? Or have you done what Jacob did? We talked about this several weeks ago, right? When Jacob ascribed his motives and purposes to God, is he really blaspheming God? Oh, God has told me that I've been blessed by you and through you. And I love this because Jacob's like, he just calls him out on it. Well, of course you have. There's no divination needed to see that. Look at what you have now that I've been working for you. And so in this point, I just want to talk about some application points, because in this text, it's quite clear that Laban's what? The evil guy, right? Or he's the dishonest guy, if nothing else. And Jacob's been the man of faith. He's growing in his faith, I get that, because he's still not quite there, and we're never all quite there. But I just wonder if you just sit sometimes and you go, you know, it's just not fair. The schemers get it all and we get nothing. Why is it that God's blessing them and we're not being blessed? Well, we could talk about common grace and how God is blessing the world, commonly speaking. But I want to talk about this point, a matter that God is blessing you through even the evil person. Could you be the blessing conduit by which this world is being blessed? Hey, listen, yeah, God's blessing Laban, but how's he blessing him? Through the sweat and hard work of Jacob. Is it possible that because we are his children, that the world would be blessed through us by our Father? Jesus spoke of this, did he not? He said, let them see your good deeds, that they may what? Glorify your Father who's in heaven. Now, I know that you and I, a lot of times, feel like, well, this is not fair. The system in which I work is not fair. Hey, I'm there with you. Not here. I like this job's great. My other job, it's just not fair. They come and they watch you. Well, I got watched 5 times this school year. They give me a score or a grade, but it's not based on, they don't average it out. They just go, the preponderance of evidence means this, and they give you some magical number, and then your kids' test scores give you another number, and then you go, well, why am I busting my hiney? Because I'm not highly effective, but next door they are. And then, I mean, just go into that's just one of the small things that drive me crazy as an educator. The other one's this. Hey, we want you to teach this. And by the way, we have no supplies for you. Good luck. Where's the textbook? We don't have any. Yay! Those things irritate me. Now, I could go, well, that's it. I'm not going to bless them. I'm going to be a curse to them. But what? How's the Father instructed us to live life in the kingdom? We're to bless others. Jacob's life, at least this point in history, is marked by his faithful service to an unfaithful master. And lest you think this is not a norm, listen, when we get to the New Testament and there's still indentured servitude, we still see Paul saying, you're not free, serve, bless, be a blessing. Is it easy? No. But is life in the New Kingdom easy? It's a transferring of authority. And our authority in this kingdom is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And what is he telling us to do? But to be faithful. We read about it when we went through the scriptures in, I think it was share group, and we talked about in Ephesians how we need to be faithful servants to our masters. Why? God is going to bless the world through his children. So I'm a full proponent of common grace. But I'm also believing that God's going to bless this lost world through his children. Why? So more children would come into the kingdom of light. James said it, not Antonio. Faith without works is dead. It's not real. We must remain faithful. Why? At the end of the day, Laban's not Jacob's master. Yahweh was Jacob's master. At the end of the day, when you find yourself having to just kind of lower your head and go, I'm going back into the grind of it tomorrow morning. That's me. I don't know about you. Going back into it tomorrow. I'm laying my head down sometimes going, okay, my employer ultimately is not SDHC and Mary Elia, although I like them a lot sometimes, not really, but whatever. My employer, my boss, is the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He's called me to be faithful. What if the world is blessed through us? The converse of that is this. Sometimes the wicked must be blessed so the righteous can be blessed. Jacob doesn't bless Laban. Jacob don't get income. I mean, let's just be honest. And so while in our eyes it may seem like a flawed thing, we're looking at the sovereign one that I sang of this morning. Oh, sovereign Lord, who knows that there's a temporary blessing for the wicked. But their end is not blessing. Their end is destruction. Their end is wrath. And oh, that they might have a few moments of rest and blessing this side of heaven. But I promise you this, they'll trade us the day comes that we have eternal blessing. And you'll say, well, I suffered a long life. I'll say, well, it's better to have suffered a long life because according to the words of Scripture, again, not Antonio, life is very short, but eternity is not. It was the Apostle Paul who said, I consider the present sufferings nothing compared to the glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Forever. Church, I sometimes just go, it's not fair that the liar and the schemer makes more than I do. But I live life with the realization that I am to do what my Father has called me to do in season and out of season, and we must be faithful to what God has called us to do. It's indeed a terrible situation. I get it. It's a horrible workplace. They mistreat. I understand that. And the good news about us is that we live in North America, we can always try to find other employment. But while the other employment's not there and you're still there, be faithful. Be the kind of person that's a blessing. I don't know how long I'll be serving at Edison Elementary School. If I had my ways, June 6th would be the end of it. But my Father has put me there, and I'm sure of. And I know that I'll be there next year. And so what I want to say is that at the end of my term at that school when I leave, here's what I want to hear. I don't know that I will. I want to hear that man was a blessing, not a naysayer, not a nagger, not a nagging mule, I don't know. Not a grumbler is the word I was looking for. Not a mumbler. Just one that was just faithful. He took the cards we gave him, and he kept on going. And I tried that this week. It was Teacher Appreciation Week at school. And there was grumbling on the campus of Edison Elementary School this week. Monday came, and there's usually a week-long event of stuff. We're of the economic disposition that we don't get much from the students. Therefore, the administration usually makes up for it. So like one year, they had massages every day and an omelet bar, and they had lunch. So Monday, you could just see my coat. We were coming in. They were salivating. You just see, like, it was a, what are we getting today? And at the end of the day, like, oh, we're having a training today. A training? We're to be appreciated, not to be taught. End of the training, at the very end of the training, whatever, we're longer than we should have been there. The principal says, by the way, for teacher appreciation, we've given you an hour of comp time. Comp time is time you can use when you don't have students in your watch. And towards the end of the school year, at least at my school, teachers are leaving not using comp time all the time. So right now, comp time's kind of pointless for us, but whatever. Happy teacher appreciation comp time. So Tuesday comes, everyone goes, well, they messed up on us yesterday. They're going to get us something today. So Tuesday comes around, and everyone's waiting. An ink pen. We got an ink pen last year. Remember that? We got a lunchbox. We got stuff last year. So everyone's like, what's it going to be? And we walked in, nothing. Oh, boy, the teacher workroom's starting to get a little bit crazy now. I'm like, oh. And in fact, I saw this. It's no lie. I saw someone making their own. It's Teacher Appreciation Week little forms to send home because we don't have a PTA to do that for us. And I was like, what are you doing? They're like, we'll never get anything if I don't send anything out. And I was like, they were like, do you want some copies? I was like, no. Sadly, I don't think I want what they're going to bring me. Which I did have a parent bring me something. And it was a basket full of sugar. And the parent said, I heard that you don't eat sugar. This is true. Give it to your family. I was like, they're appreciated on my behalf. Thank you, man. So anyways, that was a funny note in there that I'll share with you later too. All that to say, we get to Wednesday. And all I hear is, all they gave us is an hour. No one appreciates us around here. State don't. Now listen, the grumbling has gone from upset about parents, right? Because that already happened on Monday. You know we're not going to get anything because blah, 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 blah. I'm like, who cares? I'm getting a paycheck every week. That's good enough for me. Then the grumbling went to administration. Administration, can you believe we had an in-service training? Well, I can never believe we have those, to be honest with you, ever. But I don't care what week it is, but whatever. Okay, I'm glad you're on my team finally. Then it went to, they gave us an hour of comp time. Now, people are always wanting comp time, except for now, when they don't need it. But they're all the time, I need comp time so that I can take off for whatever day. Now they're grumbling about the count. So when we get to Wednesday, now they're grumbling about the state. They don't pay teachers enough anyway. Stupid Common Core. Da, da, da. How many have heard Common Core is the enemy? It's evil. That was Wednesday. Thursday, finally. This is a true story. I can't make it up. Thursday, my principal comes in, and on the office door, we have to go where you have to sign in. She posts on chart paper, we really, really, really appreciate you guys. Enjoy lunch on us today. Some of it was leftovers from this Mother's Day thing they had in the morning, but that's all right. They finally thought of us. But here's the part I'm not going to make up. A teacher, as the principal is putting it on the door, walks up to the principal and says, it's about time you recognized us. And I was like, oh, fire. No, I wasn't. But secretly, I was like, fire. No. But whatever the case, it was like, it took you long enough. It's Thursday. That's all we got this week. I don't really care, to be honest with you, because again, the bigger principle is this. Let's be a blessing. So whenever people would grumble and complain, I would just be like, I don't really want anything anyways. What that got transferred to, though, by the way, is that I'm a grumpy person. It's like, how am I grumpy that I don't want to be appreciated? I just want to work. You're so grumpy. I'm like, I'm sorry. You just walked up to the principal and said, it's about time. I'm grumpy? Maybe. That was way more in my personal life than I want to give, other than to say this. Let's think about our principles. Yeah, it's great to be appreciated. It sure is. Everyone likes a little pat in the back sometimes. I'm not saying that we shouldn't. And anyone that says to you, well, you know, I'm only an educator. I'm only in it for the kids is a liar. We're in it for the money. Otherwise, we wouldn't have a job. I mean, listen, you might be passionate about whatever it is you're called to do, but let's be at the end of the day, you're doing it for the money. But we have another principle in play here. Our kingdom is not the kingdom of this world. Our kingdom is not of flesh and blood. Our kingdom is a spirit and truth. And so there are times that you will be taken advantage of. I understand that, dear church. But you have been called because you have put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ to live life as though he's the king, right? And the king says, I want faithfulness. And to that I just submit. And again say, I'm glad I'm in North America, because next year I'll go to a school that appreciates novel. But we could. So he has this idea of prosperity. And he understands, Laban, that he's been blessed because of Jacob. And Jacob understands that Laban's been blessed because of the Almighty. And Jacob remains faithful. So Laban says, in essence, let's just be honest. Laban's like, this guy's my cash cow. Business is increased. Productivity's gone through the roof. What can I give you that will cause you to stay? What do you want? And I love this. Now, we're going to find out next week that this is really the Lord's idea. But this week, what we know is that Jacob's like, all right, here's what we're going to do. Just give me the spotted sheep and the black goats. Just give me those. You keep the white ones, and then I'll have those. And then when you come check my flock, you'll know that I'm a man of honesty. Look at it. Talking about his character. You can come check my stuff, and I'll only have the spotted and the freckled and the black, not the brown. Interestingly enough, the more common variety of sheep and goats would have been the white sheep and the black and brown goats, not black goats. I find it very interesting that the command here is to get the smaller population, at least in terms of what this flock had. Just find that interesting that he's not going for the jug. He could have been like, hey, here's what we're going to do. I want all the white ones. I want all the brown ones. You take the black and you take the spotted. Now, whether Laban would have done that, I don't know. Just find it interesting that he picks the minority, if you will. Now, again, we see the heart of Laban revealed. What does he do? Laban says, no problem. Give me a few hours to get the sheep ready. He goes out, he starts getting rid of what Jacob is supposed to have. That's what the text just said. He goes through the flocks, he finds the spotted ones, he finds the freckled ones, he finds the black ones, and he removes them and sends them to his children's flocks. And in essence leaves Jacob with just white sheep. And here's where the story gets really fascinating, interesting. Here's where we have the first instances of genetics in the Bible, where we have breeding for purpose. And here it's going to be really cool. We got some theories about this. At the end of it, though, I think we're going to learn the same thing that Jacob learns, that God is the one who's going to give him the sheep. God's the one who's going to give him the goats. Now, there's an element of this that looks very much like man has got to play in it. But at the end of it, we're going to see that God was the one behind doing what's going to happen. So we see here, he set a distance of 3 days' journey between himself and Jacob. Jacob pastured the rest of Laban's flock. So Jacob has got the rest of the flock. The others that he removed from him are 3 days away, and he's faithfully still. Did he get ripped off? Yeah, sure did. Completely got ripped off. Jacob's got the flock now that has no spotted sheep. That's his pay. Now this man has ripped him off twice. And out of it, he's gotten 14 years of service the first time. And countless sheep, apparently. Jacob took fresh sticks of poplar and almond and plane trees and peeled white streaks in them, exposing the white of the sticks. He set the sticks that he had peeled in front of the flocks in the troughs, that is, the watering places where the flocks came to drink. And since they bred when they came to drink, the flocks bred in front of the sticks, and so the flocks brought forth striped, speckled, and spotted. Now, I laugh here because this is attempt of genetics. People really believed that if you put that in front of it when the process was coming, that somehow that would alter the genes of the animal, and the animal would be like, I need to have stripes on me now. Apparently, people have believed this, though, and it's not just a wives' tale in the scripture. I've read anyways, because I'm not a scientist, and I'm not into biology. But I've heard that like women would like bring in, like, if they wanted a red-haired child, they would like bring in a picture of something red-haired so the kid would have, and it's like, wow, we're really funny. But the end of the day is, these sticks are doing nothing, are they? It's the Almighty that's bringing forth from these sheep and from these goats what's going to be Jacob's increase. So while man ripped Jacob off, what does God do? And again, I say to you, this is important, because I want to hold or abide to this principle of we need to be a blessing, right? Well, Antonio, I'm getting ripped off. Let me borrow some words from Jesus. Are you going to fear man who can kill body? Much greater. Would you fear he who could destroy both body and soul for eternity? I'm going to go with number two, but I'm also going to know this. Because my faith and trust is in number two, I'm okay. Now, I go back to my overriding principle. Doesn't mean I might be the most prosperous person this side of whatever in Riverview. I might not be, but God is going to meet the needs of his children. And one way he does it is by, yes, blessing the unmerciful. I get that. The other way he does it is what? We're in a community of faith. James was quite clear. What good is it if you have a need and you just say to your brother, oh, be well, all is well with you. What is the words of Jesus? When I was hungry, you fed and clothed me. When did I do that, Lord Jesus? When you did to the least of my of these. And who was he talking about? His children. So the Lord indeed uses his body to meet the needs of us at times, right? And I'm one of those, I'll be the first one to tell you right here. I have had needs in my life that God has met through the body of Christ. And I thank you guys for that. I'm sure there's been numerous occasions, but I mean, most recently, my shoulder incident. I would still have a busted up shoulder had it not been for the faithfulness of God's people, who gave liberally to meet my need. Connie's ill. We don't know how ill she is. I have no idea. I know that I can trust my Father who's in heaven. And I know this for a fact, that once my church family found out my wife was ill, I heard from, what do you need? Oh, we don't need anything yet. We need a supernatural working of God right now. If you know how to cause that, I'm all for that. And we go, we know how to do that. We just have faith in him. For our Father heals. And whether he heals this ailment, this side of glory or not, my Father will heal my bride. And that's my hope. And so we'll walk through this as a family, and we'll walk through this with you guys, and we thank you for your support of our family. That being said, I've been a little scatterbrained lately, and I've forgotten to do things I should do, and I've been a little distant and aloof. I'm trying my best to love my bride as Christ loves the church. And so she's kind of center stage right now. Close second place is my boy who he needs his father. And then what I get to after that, I get to. That includes the 16, 8, 7, and 6-year-olds that I see Monday through Friday. Anyways. The Lord is going to provide Jacob's flock. It's not these silly sticks. I'll tell you something else is going to happen really cool, though. Watch this. He set the sticks, peeled them. The flock spread in front of the sticks. So the flocks brought forth striped, speckled, and spotted. That's his pay, remember? Jacob separated the lambs and set the faces of the flocks toward the striped and the black in the flock of Laban. He put his own droves apart and did not put them with Laban's flock. So he's now separating his flock from Laban's. Whenever the stronger of the flock were breeding, Jacob would lay the sticks in the troughs before the eyes of the flock, they might breed among the sticks. But for the feebler of the flock, he would not lay them there. So the feebler would be Laban's and the stronger Jacob's. Thus the man increased greatly and had large flocks, female servants and male servants, and camels and donkeys. Check out what... Now, we can see some human ingenuity in this, all right? But at the end of it, it's really God who's producing the stuff. But we can still see how God takes our actions and uses them, right? So first of all, he starts to get his own flock. And that is clearly a work of God, right? The sticks aren't causing freckled and spotted sheep. But once he has these flocks, Jacob's looking and going, we got some weak sheep and some strong sheep. I think it would be better to have strong sheep than weak sheep. So when he saw that it was time for the sheep to mate, he would look and see, is this a weak sheep or a strong sheep? And if it was a weak sheep, he'd just let them mate, didn't fool with them. If it was strong, that's the one he wanted, and he'd put the piece of wood. And they would produce offspring that would be Jacob's. Again, while it looks like on the surface he's really doing something, he's not doing much, is he? Because even if the stronger sheep do mate, can he control whether they're going to be freckled or not? There's no control of him to do that. Now, you would say to me, we can do that today in 2014. I would say, yes, you're correct. We can do biogenetics today, 2014. I'm not talking about 2014. I'm not talking about even even before 2014, you know, we have like Mineolas. I know this is part of my childhood is oranges. We have Mineolas because someone had crossbred an orange and a tangerine, and they're like, look at this cool little thing here, and now we have little cuties. Thank you, guy who engineered. But again, we're not talking about biblical times without any kind of genetic manipulation. Now, you could say to me, well, you know, we can do some genetics, and I do know that if I get two blue eye and da-da-da-da. Yeah, that could be true. But remember this. Laban had removed what he could see genetically. Laban took all the spotted out. So now it's just guesswork, which one's going to be spotted or not. He has no idea. Again, while he's put his faith and trust in the wood, I don't know the wood's really doing him anything. It might be. I don't know. So, Jacob is clearly being prosperous because God is doing something. I back this claim up by saying what? Jacob has received the inheritance. Jacob is the child of promise, right, if we're going through Abraham. And Abraham was promised what? I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. He's being blessed because Yahweh himself said that Jacob would be a blessing. Now, what I find interesting is this as well, right? Laban's being blessed because Jacob's being blessed, but he's also being secretly cursed, is he not? Look at the majesty of God to make sure that there's judgment and just. You go, he's being blessed this whole time, Laban is. Well, is he being blessed in the end? Jacob's going to pull out of town, and he's going to be left with weak sheep. It was all temporary. It was all what you could see with the eyes. It was all momentary. Anyways, I guess this morning as we took this journey into prosperity, and next week we see Jacob fleeing from Laban because it's that time for you go wait 3 hours to go feed mom somewhere. Good luck. Crazy day, right? Yesterday I ran out. Noah wanted to make mom a craft, and so I went out to get him that, and it took me 3 hours to get in and out of Walmart, and I was deceitful to my bride. I'm going to go look out for some sunglasses. She was thinking, those must have been some fancy sunglasses. That may have been gone half a day looking for sunglasses, and I come home empty-handed. Where are those sunglasses? Mm-hmm. Oh, no. Noah did a great job, though. Anyways, all that to say, here's, I guess, the takeaway, I hope. The Lord gives, and the Lord takes. He does. And why is it that he's given to us? So we can bless. Why is it he takes? I think so we can bless. I think that every season of life, our disposition should be one of, I'm going to do what the Father has called me to do. And among those is to what? Be a blessing to others. Again, it's a sad day when we would be known by another moniker, but I know that's true. And listen, we're not human and we're not perfect, right? There are days that I grumble and complain at Edison. It just wasn't this week, because this week I thought, well, last year I got a lunchbox for appreciation. Woo. I got a basket full of sugar this year. So I'm just laying that one aside at the altar. There's plenty of things that I grumble about. So I'm not perfect in this, but I'm just saying, can we start that process of God? I want to be a blessing. Can we start that together? I want to start that. Can we be blessed so that we can bless? I started out saying that I know that we have many challenges and needs. Again, some of us are, I'm a paycheck family myself. I get that. But America's a prosperous place. If you stop and think about it, go, well, the wicked have prospered. But you know what? The wicked has prospered so that the church could prosper. What have we done for missions? We've gone all over the world. How? Because America's been a prosperous place. We have. We're seeing now the gospel just flourishing in where? Impoverished areas. Why? Because the church, who's been blessed here, has taken their blessings here and blessed others elsewhere. Let's do that. Let's be a blessing. Let's do the words of Jesus. Let's do good deeds so that people can see them and glorify our Father who is in heaven. Heavenly Father, thank you so much this morning. And as one who sometimes wishes he were more prosperous than he was, I thank you for my prosperity, Father. And yet, Lord, I thank you that your goal is not to make us healthy. Father, your goal is to make us in the image of your Son, Jesus, who, if we look at, had very few finances. In fact, Jesus said that his food or his sustenance or the things that he needed were provided to him in that he did what you called him to do. And man doesn't need to live by bread or water alone, but the Spirit of God. So, Lord, I thank you for that promise this morning. Lord, again, I thank you for mothers. Thank you for my mother, and just thank you for the blessing she's been to me. I thank you for my son's mother and the blessing that she is to him and I. And I think it's really cool that she's raising two boys. Help me, Father, be the man that she needs to help her, Father. Help me be the man that my son needs to help raise and encourage him. Father, thank you for the surrogate mamas I've had in this congregation that have hugged me, that have loved me, that have tended for my wounds, who have loved my family as though they were their own. Father, we just thank you so much that you are faithful to provide for our needs. Lord, we pray for those this morning who don't have mom physically with them, and it's a very painful day for them in that they're missing them. We thank you, Father, that we are to mourn with those who are mourning, Father, and so we want to take that opportunity to do that today as well. But we thank you for the blessing that their mothers were. Father, we pray and just thank you for this day that we've had to learn about you, Father, this day we've had to worship you. And may the love of the Lord Jesus, the grace of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with those who believe today and forevermore. Amen.